are the care compass, pointing hearts back home, turning quiet lonely rooms into places they belong. To the elderly, the wise, you give your steady light, careful care, caring compassion in the soft hours of the night.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon with the Care Compass, and welcome back. It is always, I want to say, such a joy to do the show, but it's also such a fragility, right? And such a transparency when I do this show. And for those of you that have been following my parents' journeys, and I always give you an update after several years of being apart because of health issues, we finally were able to bring my mom back with my dad. So it's like this incredible miracle that they are back together, 66 years of marriage. And just when I call and I ask my dad how he's doing, he says, my day is perfect. I'm with your mom. So today's update is a good one. So it's a great day to be celebrating and enjoy. And as I've been going through this journey of my parents' health and my parents' future, my parents' life, as well as my own life and future, in the middle of this story, one of the guests that I've really been eager and longing to bring on, I'm so excited, is with me today, which is Tracy Granick. And Tracy is incredibly special. You're incredibly special. You really are. It's you exuberate joy, you exuberate light, you exuberate energy. And at the same time, there is a knowingness when I talk to you, when I see you, that you have all this wisdom and all this knowledge.
And, in certain areas.
And you immediately allow people to trust you, because I think that what you say is so true. Like, it rings something inside of you that you just say that's true. And I don't know why it's true, but I know it feels right. Mm-hmm. I know it is right. I know it's something that I should be listening to. And it's an area that a lot of people don't know about.
Sure.
And so I think that's extraordinary. And your company, Frontier Financial, right,
of Arizona,
is wonderful in so many ways, because you expanded into an area that I want to say is such a specialty area. Right. And it's special because it gives people an option maybe they had never thought about, mm-hmm. that they didn't know existed. And it also gives people hope. And how do you serve hope? How do you that's such a gift. And then I was reading your bio, and like little tiny tear came down my eye when I was reading your bio, because in your bio you were talking about your dad, mm-hmm. and the show we're talking about parents that are aging and how we help navigate that, as well as ourselves as we're coming. Absolutely. We're in an age bracket that's us, yep. in 10 years and 20 years. So sure. Everything we are learning to help them, we are learning to help ourselves in the process. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the term reverse mortgages, but when you were a kid, tell me what it was that your dad said.
Yeah. So I was maybe 6, 7, 8 years old. And I was sitting on his lap one day, and he said, "Why is it that you save for retirement?" And I had no idea. Dad worked for Ford Motor Company and retired from there. And so the natural thing that I thought of was, well, you know, we save for retirement, so we have gas to put it, or we have money to put gas in our car. You know, we have food to put on the table. It was, you know, the simple things that a kid would think of, you know, when a parent asked that question. But as I've gone through my adult life, I realized that what he did back then was he was just planting a seed. Retirement isn't necessarily something that we get to as much as it's something that we plan for. And that is a seed that has to be continuously nurtured through our lives. And the younger we start, the more opportunities that we have to make that journey of retirement that much more comfortable. And so, yeah, it was really just an
Literal.
interesting, yeah, it was,
You were a
but I
literal.
remember it like it was yesterday. You know, there's so many things that we forget, but it's like that one thing he said, and I just hung on to it. I still hang on to it today.
I was telling somebody last night, we were having a conversation about bamboo trees. And the one thing that I've learned about bamboo trees is you put the seed in, and it could take years. Like years for the little bamboo seed to break ground, but once it does, like you cannot chop down a bamboo. They just grow and they grow and they grow. I always think about the person that just nurtures that seed all those years.
Even
And
when nothing's happening, we still have to be present in what our ultimate goal is.
so I'm in that in between, not just an in between, right? What was that song? And I was like, I'm in between. So I have two parents that are in their 80s, and as many of us have always been taken care of by our parents, and we never expect that day to happen when there's some sort of a flip that we are now taking care of them and protecting them, protecting, right? And fiercely wanting the best for them and their wellness and for them to have everything that they've ever wanted, in every moment. And so where do you begin? When do you start? And how does this work? And when does somebody find you and knock on your door or scream, "Can we see?"
Regrettably, it's oftentimes at the last minute, which is why in my career, especially in the last 7 years, 8 years, I've been on a mission to get people educated. The reverse mortgage is a highly misunderstood topic of conversation. In my early years of talking about it with people, some people would just not call me back because I just mentioned the word. And for some reason, people just were not real open to it. And I think, again, it was because of lack of information. I always believe that people make better decisions when they have the right education. And so coming at the topic of the reverse mortgage from just an educational standpoint, I now have a much better way of being able to get them comfortable with the idea, at least to think about it, because it is a learning curve. And some people, in the matter of a couple of months, realize the benefit of it. Other people, it takes them 2 or 3 years until a major life event happens and they say, gosh, now I think I need it. And so that's what I try to do with the lunch and learns that I do in my education with people of the reverse mortgage, is to just as soon as I can get children, financial advisors, CPAs, estate planners, anyone who is an integral part of a senior's wellness as they age. Into that conversation so that it can be easier to talk about, as opposed to something that nobody wants to broach until it's the last opportunity for them to have financial wellness.
Okay, so supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, really big word.
Yes.
It has an energy to it, and already breaking a song. Reverse mortgage, what is it?
So that is a great question. And so it's a loan. Okay. So your home is collateral, just like a traditional loan that you make payments on. The difference is that you don't have to make payments on it. So it's the very first reverse mortgage was written for a gal in Kansas, and this was back in 1989. And if we think about the demographic of person that this program was designed for, it was a widow. Usually a woman, When their husband passed away, typically they had no income at all. They hadn't been in the workforce very long, so they themselves weren't receiving Social Security. But what most people did back then was their house was free and clear of any mortgage. So the deal back then was the bank would pay all of her expenses, not just property taxes and home insurance, but it'd give her food for groceries, money to pay her utilities, so that she could age in place in the home that she resided in, raised her kids, and lived in her whole life. And at the end of her life, the deal back then was the bank got your house. And since that time, the program has evolved tremendously, mostly because people's lives have evolved. Women now have their own pensions, they have their own retirement accounts. They don't necessarily have to rely on their husband and what they did for them to set them up when they pass away. So no longer does the bank take your house. No longer does someone who's under 62 years old get thrown out when their spouse passes on. The program has evolved into the demographic of people that we have today. Dual income households, couples who are remarried because they each lost a spouse. They're each coming in with their own assets. So in my lunch and learns, I like to talk about that evolution of the program because a lot has changed with it, and a lot's going to continue to change as people's lives change. And
I love that. So I read in your bio that you were from New York and Boston, and now you're here in Arizona. So vastly different. Like I think about New York and I
Totally.
think about, apartments, or I think about condominiums, or you think about townhouses, and here there's all this land. Does it matter where people have their homes if they get a reverse mortgage? Is it more beneficial for people in one area than another, or?
It really doesn't matter because what I have found is that people that live in a single wide manufactured home could be just as well off as a person in a multi-million dollar home. It's all how they have approached their overall financial well-being. And what I mean by that is, we think that we just have to save in our 401ks or our IRAs, but there's more to financial wellness than that. There's the long-term care insurance piece. There's living life insurance policies. There's all kinds of other financial instruments that we need to consider when having a well-rounded approach to our financial future. And so, again, it really, we finance everything from single wide manufactured homes in rural parts of Arizona to multi-million dollar homes down in Scottsdale. And the need for this type of program covers all financial spectrums.
That's awesome. And when people come in to talk to you, like, what are their major questions and what are their greatest fears?
So there is a pride with owning your home without a mortgage on it. I myself, that's what my dad taught me. Strive to, when you retire, to not have a house payment. Well, what I have found people's biggest fear is not having enough safety nets for what could possibly happen. And they seem to always be concerned about using the equity in their home as one of those safety nets. And what I have found is the money that we've paid into our home should be looked at the same way as the money that we invest in an IRA or a 401k. At some point down the road, when after 20, 30, 40 years of investing in an IRA, we then start drawing from it. Our house needs to be looked at that same way. And so breaking through to individuals who have a huge nest egg in their home, but fearful of converting that to cash, takes again just planting seeds. Most everybody has some type of a hole in their retirement planning. And so my job, I feel, is to find out what that is, plant the proper seeds so that I can help them be prepared for whatever might come on down the road.
That's wonderful. So, who is this for?
It is for any homeowner 62 years or older who has concerns about their financial well-being. Maybe they are short every month. They're not what I call cash flow positive. Maybe they don't have a savings account if a major unexpected event occurs, like needing a new car, an air conditioner, a new roof, any sort of deferred maintenance on their house, wanting to take a trip. There's so many people that are living in retirement, we'll say paycheck to paycheck, and they have a brand new great grandbaby that they want to go see and they can't. And it's things like that, So it isn't even a negative event that could occur. It could be something positive that they're just not financially capable of experiencing.
I love that you say that. That there's, take a vacation, see your
Right.
grandchild.
Right.
There's such a longing. And so I know for myself, being a child with aging parents, there are conversations that are impossible, like the keys to the car. Like you should not be driving, you're running over mailboxes and small children and whatever, and beautiful lawns and gardens, and somebody took time to plant. Like, where I can drive and you think I can't drive anymore, right? And those
Oh, yeah.
conversations.
I remember the last time I drove with my dad, I said, "I am driving moving forward."
And how did that go?
It actually went good, but I wasn't taking his keys away. So I just said, anytime I'm around you, I drive.
So, and those are, conversations that,
Are hard.
that are hard, that are difficult, man. I wish, maybe I'll write a manual on how to have those conversations. And so, while there's one me, the other me's out there, all of our listeners, start the conversations with their parents about reverse mortgage.
So that is a tough question to answer. I feel a little fortunate in that I have six siblings, and my dad always felt comfortable talking to me about finances. And I don't know what allowed him that comfort in talking with me, but he just had that respect. And so it was a little easier for me to have the conversation with him when the time finally came for him to pursue a reverse mortgage. Some people just plain don't have anybody. That's what I have found a lot is they don't have kids, and if they do have kids, they're estranged. And so I become that person that they have an opportunity to talk with. And so I think if you don't have that relationship with your family or with your parents to find a trusted person, like Nicole graciously has says, I am, and say, you know what? Maybe you're not comfortable talking with me about this, but I've got the perfect person who you can open up to. And it just explore other options.
That's so important. And I feel that instantly. I saw you speak once. You were talking about what you do, and you were sharing that, like, even if you don't do this now, right? Even if this is a couple, let me,
Educate you.
educate you. And I believe it's such a swaddling in talking to you. It really is. It's you feel safe. You feel protected. You feel seen. You feel heard. You feel understood. And for my own self, I would want that. And I would certainly want that for my parents or for anybody that I love. I mean, I would, skywrite your name and recommend for people to go to you and, shout it from the top of the mountaintops, because I really do believe that you're helping people in a way that they couldn't help themselves. And you're offering them something that they didn't even, it's like a miracle. It's like somebody that all of a sudden finds all this money under the mattress or something, or you winning the lottery. It's like out of nowhere, this windfall comes your way that you didn't even know was possible. And so, in talking to you, and then you were sharing that you had gone from like traditional real estate or whatever
Traditional lending,
into, and so what was that transition for you, or what was?
So I still do traditional loans, of course. But the transition actually occurred around 2013 when my dad made a call to all of us siblings and said, "I think I'm going to go broke. And I need all of you to
Oh my
help me
gosh.
with your mom's care."
Oh my gosh.
And I sat back and thought, how is that possible? This was a man who retired with a pension, paid off all of his debts, had a trust and put all of his assets into the trust. Pretty much had his house paid off. Just had a small line of credit, which was a little bit of his safety net. But what he did not have was long-term care. And my mom had a series of strokes. He was paying for people to come help her at home. And he got to a point where he just couldn't do it anymore at home. And he said, "You know, I need to find a place for her." Found this wonderful 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, few other residents, affordable rent, but it was bleeding him. And one time a year, around September or October, he would get those annual bills that come up for all of us: car insurance, registration for the vehicles, property taxes, home insurance. It was like, for some reason, that time of the year really hit him hard. And it was that time of the year that he always had to go to his IRA and make a sizable withdrawal. Well, in the last year, he'd been doing that monthly because of helping to cover my mom's care. So when I found out the reason behind his call for
Wow.
financial help to all of us, I said, "Okay, I think now is the time to start having that conversation about what does it mean that a house is a retirement account?" And we started to explore the reverse mortgage. And it was the solution that we were looking for. And what was really beautiful about the whole process was when he was done and he had the reverse mortgage in place, he goes, "You know what, Tracy, I should have done this 10 years ago. I would have," because he understood the concept of it. He said, "I would have had so much more money to deal with today had I planned better." And that was my very first experience in learning how we can feel so confident in everything that we've done to prepare, and then life throws us a curveball that we had no plans for. And that's what made me add this program into my toolbox of options for people, my own personal experience.
My heart is with you, because I grew up with a father who is a financial wizard, and very much the same thing. My mom went down this rabbit hole of health, and so I have a personal connection to that. Wow.
And I find most couples experience something like that, where one of them is healthy and has to take care of the other. But even that by itself is so draining on the caregiver. And people like my dad, I mean, he hung in there so much longer than he should have, because he of that generation feels it's his obligation. Through good times and bad times, you're there. And The way I see that now is I want to pay for the absolute best care for my spouse, not be the one personally to provide it, because that takes away from my quality of life and makes me at risk of not being able to care for them because I'm not caring for myself. So it's definitely a there's a generational shift, I think, that we're gonna see where people will begin to realize the value of paying for that care and giving ourselves a break, both financially and spiritually, you know, because that's a lot on our soul to take care of somebody and forget about ourselves.
It is. I like me, I did that journey, right? I'm in that journey. As I think many people that are listening and watching to our show, that's where they're at right now. It's so easy. So, because all you think about is, I have to take care of this other person. I have to make sure they survive. I have to make sure that they're protected. And like picking up the dry cleaning, paying bills, kids are at camp. Like, oh my gosh. Like, just remembering, your own life just gets so far pushed aside,
It does.
and that becomes your primary focus. And if there is something that can give breath to that and allow you space to have your own life as well as supporting and helping the person you love, there's sheer magic in that. And then how long does the process take? So I want a reverse mortgage.
So counseling is the first step. Counseling,
Introducing.
yes, we meet. I'm gonna, of course, dive into your situation because the program can absolutely be used in a good way or a bad way. I tell people it's not the loan that's bad, it's the application of the loan that's bad. So I like to really understand their situation, both what's happening for them today as well as what they are planning for in the future. We review some different scenarios, make sure they understand, what those options are, why one is better over another. And once that person feels comfortable that they want to put this loan in place, then counseling is the next step. And counseling is designed to just make sure a person is given thought to how they're going to utilize the program, but also what other options are out there. Sometimes an option is I need to sell my house and downsize. So let's look at what that entails. So there's other loan programs. Sometimes the reverse mortgage is not the right answer today. Maybe something else is the right answer. And so having also that traditional loan background, I can help somebody understand absolutely any type of program that's available to them. And so counseling is going to go over all that stuff. They're going to ask you to prepare a budget. They too want to understand your situation so that they can properly prepare you. The other big thing too is, like all real estate and mortgage transactions, if you are not of sound mind, you should not be entering into an agreement like this. And so this is a little bit of a gauge for a counselor to know if a person is of sound mind. And if they're not, for us to have that conversation about, do you have a power of attorney in place? Is there an estate planner that we need to bring into this conversation? So this is a, it's a big deal. It's not like our 30-year fixed loan that we can just, churn over year after year and pull cash out and do stuff like that. This is a retirement account. And so just making sure that you're ready for it is the first step. From there, it's a normal loan process. 30 days, you get an appraisal done, work with the title company. It's pretty straightforward after the counseling.
That's great.
Yeah. And
That
it is
seems
just
really
counseling is
simple.
just a phone conversation. I made
Short.
it sound like it was something you got to go and take a test
Like
on.
when
You
you're getting
don't.
married, go see your minister, this or
No,
whatever this is.
it's nothing like that. It's just a phone conversation.
Well, I love it
An
because you know
hour and a half.
how
It's real
people
laid back.
live, right? Do they go to the theater? Do they travel? What do they want to do? Right? What are your expectations? grandchildren's, like you're saying, see grandchild, go on a Disney cruise, take any of those things. So
And
when
you,
people.
that's the beauty of it is, you can use the equity in your home for absolutely anything, which is, it goes back to why is this for everybody? Because some people work their tails off their entire life, W-2 employees, 70 hours a week, and now they retire, but not really. They just want to go do something else. And this is a way for them to fund whatever that is that they want to do. I've known people who've started nonprofit organizations
That's
because they
great.
finally were ready to give back and they had so much that they wanted to give. So it's really just anything. Go buy a vacation home, go travel, go do what it is you want. But at the end of the day, too, be prepared for those things that come up that we aren't prepared for. Which is what we're talking
That's
about, which is,
exactly
yeah.
it's all of it. And then, and I want to get back to this, but I just want to briefly step to the side about you. So, six brothers, sisters,
Yes.
and so was there conversation within the family, like
Yes.
in doing this?
Yeah.
So, is that something you would recommend that you bring other family members in, or just the caretaker that's the primary caretaker? Or is there best
Best
formula in
practices. Yeah, kind
place?
of best practices. So I do think that it's important for the parents to bring in to the conversation, any child who would be responsible for liquidating their estate.
Great answer.
That
Okay, very
is
good. Great answer.
absolutely,
Okay.
like me having six siblings, dad didn't feel it was anybody's business, which I agree with him. This is a big financial decision. It's his responsibility.
Right.
And many of my siblings are not in the state of Arizona. Many of them haven't been present during the evolution of my mom's illness. And therefore, why have that feedback? Because it would not
Great.
be
I understand. Right.
valuable
Right.
in that decision. So, but I have found, again, the person who is set to handle the settlement of the estate should at least be aware of what's happening.
Got it. Okay.
It's not that they need to be part of the decision. They just need to be aware of what's happening so that when the time comes, they know why my business card is stapled to the folder and
Right.
say, call Jess for my passing. She'll help you through this.
And they probably need your counseling at that
They,
point
which is
anyway, just
fine.
your
Yes. And
kindness and
I,
your care and your
yes, because
support.
regrettably, I went through that same thing too. When my dad ultimately passed away, I had to make the call to the bank and say, hey, what is it that you need? My dad's passed on. This is what we intend on doing with the house. And so I know exactly what the next person's going to go through.
Right.
And all of my clients know that I am the call that their ear is to make so that I can help them.
I love that. That's
Yeah,
excellent.
I like to say that my job starts when the loan is closed, which is one of the reasons why I tell people to choose wisely who you work with, because you're going to need them later. And I don't get paid beyond that transaction when it closes, but the what I, why I do this is why I feel I have to just continue that relationship.
And one of the things I love when you're talking about that it doesn't have to be, a fear factor, that you can use this for cruises or to see your grandkids or vacations or to start a charity. And a lot of people step into their passions at that time, other than philanthropy, where people have always wanted to golf, people have always wanted to fly planes, people
Absolutely,
have
had a
always
hobby.
wanted hot horses.
Oh, geez.
Horses, right?
Yep.
So is that you did New York, Boston? Was it the land that brought you to Arizona?
Boston, New York is actually where I grew up.
Ah.
Okay. Not many people know where that is, but if you are a football fan, if you're a
Oh.
football fan, we are outside of Orchard Park. So I'm a big Bills fan. But Boston is a tiny little town in the hills in upstate New York. And so I grew up in a rural environment. There were horses around, but I personally didn't ride horses. So in the 1980s, when most people would go to Florida for their spring breaks, Dad said, "We're going to go to a dude ranch in Tucson." And we went to the dude ranch in Tucson, and I think I was 12 the first time we went. And I saw so many horses, and I just never wanted to leave the paddock where the horses were being taken care of. And they offered trail rides every day, so I was on every trail ride I could be on. And I just fell in love, not only with horses, but with the Sonoran Desert and the Southwest. And so after that first trip, Dad said, "When I retire, we're moving to Arizona." And he delivered on that promise in 1989. And every year up until that point, we would go to the same dude ranch year after year, see the same people from all over the country, they became friends with. And it was kind of like a place where, again, people came from all over, and you got to know the same people, and everybody planned their trip around when are you going to be there. And it was the best vacation a kid could ever ask for. We all had breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. I mean, it was just like a huge family of 100 people, that
Love
came
that.
out to this dude ranch every year. It was super cool.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And then as a little girl, so you said your dad planted the seed for retirement, but you could have gone, into being a horse fit. You could have gone into a million things. What was the drive for you to go into real estate? Were you always helping people? Were you always wanting to take care of people, or is that?
I fell into it by chance. So I graduated from the University of Arizona in Tucson in 1998, and college for me was just more of setting goals and achieving it. I needed some discipline because I wasn't the best kid during high school. I absolutely got what I needed from the U of A. And I wasn't, I came from the restaurant background. I worked at a lot of five-star restaurants in Tucson. Absolutely love that industry, but with all of those hours and the hard work, I knew that wasn't going to be a career for me, but I loved serving people. I would have clients come into the restaurant and I'm like, "Let me come up with your whole meal plan, pair the wine with it. Just tell me what you like." That's what I like to do, is just, I like to serve people. And so I left Arizona and went to Sacramento, and I had saved a bunch of money, and I thought, okay, I'm ready to buy my first house. And it was a complete disaster. I never ended up buying the house. I spent money. I was shopping in a price range that I didn't qualify for. My mortgage person wasn't licensed. My real estate agent was new. It was like, I mean, everything could
It's
have been wrong.
a
And
great
I'm
story.
going, what? I feel like I'm pretty smart, and I failed at this. And so I had recently met Larry, and Larry had been selling mortgage leads. Now I'm dating him and I, okay, because this is pre-social media for sure, almost pre-internet. The fax machine was popular back then, so the telephone was the primary form of communication. And so Larry had been selling mortgage leads to mortgage brokers and bankers across the country. And he said, "I can support you if you want to go do this as a profession." I said, "Hell yeah, I can do this better than I was treated. And I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody again." And so I found my calling that way. And it was exactly what I was looking for as a career, because it was right in line with what my dad said of invest in real estate, save for your retirement. And so that was the conversation that I started having with people way back when, was, hey, if you're going to be buying a house, let's think about this like a retirement account. You want to be able to afford what you're getting into, still have money set aside to save, and not be house rich and everything else poor. And so that was actually what got me into it. And I've never looked back. I've absolutely loved it ever since.
That's awesome. That's great. So, Larry, you said I met Larry, but for those that don't know
Yeah, so yep.
Larry.
Larry is my husband, partner in the business. He has been an entrepreneur his whole life and has definitely taught me everything that I needed to know about being a small business owner. And he works with me in the business. He's our marketing guy and networks and just helps to promote what it is I do.
That's wonderful. And he has a training as
He does.
well,
Yes,
which
he
is,
does some amazing training for business owners on how to be better networkers. This is a relationship business. I mean, as you can see, I'm an expert in reverse mortgages and mortgages, but I need everybody else to help my clients. You know, I need the caregivers, I need the notary people, the document preparers, you know, the placement people. You know, my dad was placed into a home for just the last 6 weeks of his life. And, you know, we need those specialty people that we can trust and know are going to put our clients, their interests ahead of their own. And so, yeah, it's all about networking and working with the absolute best people, because who you work with is an extension of who you are. And so I take very seriously if somebody gives me a referral of a client of theirs, that they have got to be taken care of as perfectly as possible, because their reputation is my reputation. And so Larry
yes.
teaches that philosophy, and that's how we conduct ourselves in our business.
I'm so glad you were here today. And truly, for anybody that has the opportunity to meet Tracy, to talk to Tracy, to work with Tracy, to be able to see the opportunities to make your dreams come true, your visions come true, to have safety, to have relief, to have confidence that everything is handled and taken care of. I would highly recommend it, even just to talk to have someone to talk to. Like she's saying, sometimes you just need somebody to be able to talk to and to ask those questions, those what ifs, or how does that work, or the whys. And I love the fact that you come from the family that you come from, because you've learned communication and you had a dad that instilled this incredible seed of wisdom in you that you want to be able to save for that retirement. The fact that in real estate, I'm delighted to hear your story about you being in the restaurant industry and wanting to create meals for everybody, because that just shares even further the who you are. That you that just wants to make everybody happy and fulfill their needs and see specifically what each person wants and what they like, and those little, you know, tiny, tiny, tiny little details that make all the difference
Huge
in the
difference.
world and make everything so special. And I love the demystification of the word and what it is, because I think that when we, you know, I was taught fear is false evidence appearing real. And so if you say, a kid says there's monsters in the closet, and you open the closet and say, oh, that's the air conditioning. Look, that's making that sound or whatever. And now it's the air conditioning. Or when you have the right information, there is no such thing as fear. And the information for either retiring and downsizing or for reverse mortgages, when you have the right information, you can almost, like, you know, a Star Trek or something, boldly step into the future where no one's gone before, because you have the confidence, you have the faith, you have the knowledge, you
You've got
have the
somebody on your
understanding, this, and you have
team.
somebody on your team and somebody that has really listened to the fact that you want to go on the Disney cruise with your grandchildren, or the fact that you want to start a hobby, or the fact that you want to have beautiful horses and, you know, spend your days on trails and in love, or starting a foundation or helping people, or any of the things that we've talked about. And so I think it's such a gift. And I'm so honored and so blessed that you are with me today. And outside of that world, and we're saying that world is so very important. And I think it is, I strive here to answer every question that you have on this journey for yourself, for your parents, for your family. And so if there is a subject that you'd like me to cover, please write in. I will find the right guest for you. Or if you have questions for Tracy, please write to us. We promise you we will get back to you. She will get back to you if you have a question, if you want to reach with her, if you want to have a consultation, if you just need to talk to her, just let us know and we will make that happen. And as we have just a couple of minutes left, since you personally have gone through this journey with your dad and your mom, is there any just life advice you would give to our listeners that are going through what you or I have gone through?
Don't wait until it's too late to reconnect with them. As part of my journey, I had some siblings that, unfortunately, what my dad chose to do actually pushed them away for some strange reason. And that then caused them to push away from other siblings. And so life is very short, and we don't know when our time is up. And I think it's important that if you have a misunderstanding with somebody, that you just talk with them about it and break through it, because you will feel better on the other side, and it will pay off in spades to you emotionally, especially after that person passes.
Great advice.
Yep.
And then I'm going to ask you for one little more tidbit.
Okay.
So your dad instilled the seed,
Yes.
retire. Any recommendations for seeds? Now, people might have children or grandchildren that are listening to the show
Yep.
that you could say, this is advice that I would suggest that you give to your child or to your grandchild.
Always pay yourself first. Even if it's 10% of our earnings that you can save every month, do it. Paying ourselves first is the greatest thing that we can do for ourselves the younger we are, because it just means that we'll have more later. And with how everything is becoming so much more expensive and people most of the time living longer, we're going to need more and more resources the older we get to make sure we are well positioned for anything that life has to throw our way.
That's really great advice.
Yep, pay ourselves first.
Pay ourselves first. There was a book, right? The Richest Man in Babylon, I think. My dad had told me that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of little ones like that. Live within your means. Credit cards are not supplemental income, and I think that people fall on those because we want to have the better car than our friend does. We want to have the newest this or that. We want to have the toys. Well, I know for myself personally, I didn't have my first car payment until I was 40. And I just think that we're living beyond our means and not living within the income that we have coming in. And that's a big piece of the puzzle. I mean, there's so many people that I have interviewed for home loans or taken applications for, and they have an $800 or $1,000 car payment. And I think that's two-thirds of a house payment right now. How can that be the biggest expense that you have? There's just, I think there's some education that needs to be done in high school or wherever to just get people to recognize that we can't live out of our car.
Wow.
And that needs to be a much smaller percentage of our overall income in terms of expenses.
Oh, great advice. And how do people find you?
Let's see. Yes. So I'm a licensed mortgage broker in both Arizona and California. FrontierFinancialAZ.com is my main website. ReverseMortgages.net is the reverse mortgage website. My name is Tracy Rannick. I am the broker and owner of Frontier Financial of Arizona. So if you just Google that, I'm pretty sure I will consume the first and second page of Google. And we've got great reviews out there. You can contact me by phone, email. All of my contact information is out there.
Wonderful. I so appreciate you being
Thank
here
you. This
today.
was a lot of fun.
I've learned so much. I mean, and it's something I've always been interested in since I very first heard the term. And then when I met you, there is just something remarkably, like I was saying, special about you. You
Thank you.
know it, you know what you know in this world. And there are times that you meet people and you automatically know this is a wonderful person. I can trust this person. And you embody that. You
Thank
really
you.
do. There is just such a beautiful safety in the all of who you are. And I understand now from your history, even from the restaurants and the serving and your dad, that your whole life's journey has been in helping people and serving people and giving to people and seeing them and understanding this, you know, and it's fascinating, it's beautiful, and it's exciting to
Thank
know
you.
that there is opportunity that we didn't even know that was out there. And so I'm very grateful
Thank
that
you.
you're with us, as I'm sure you're all really grateful. And you learned something, right? You learned something remarkable. Tell everybody you know, because this is really, it's doable. It's doable, and it's an answer. And that's, I think, why we're here, is we're looking for the answers, right? There are so many questions, and this is an answer. This is a big answer to be able to do that and allow Tracy to help guide you and share with you, you know, your own personal journey and let her help you through that. And I know it's going to be wonderful for you on the other side of that. And I thank all of you for being with us today. So it's really been special to share my journey with you, as every week I love sharing my journey with you, and to be able to take whatever I'm learning and share it with you. So hopefully you have one less sleepless night, one less problem to solve, and that questions you've had that I have answers for, or that I've experienced or someone's experienced that could help you. So if you need assistance, write in. We will make sure we find the right people for you. And know you are not alone. We are walking with you, holding your hand, and we are walking in love. And look forward to seeing you on our next Care Compass. Until then, you're doing a great job, and we are grateful for you.
You are the care compass, pointing hearts back home, turning quiet, lonely rooms into places.